from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
You want to start with the Sox? We are at the lowest point in White Sox history as we sit here this morning. And that's no exaggeration.
But it's not even, like, it's going to get worse.
Well, I know.
Are we
tomorrow
confident?
It could be an opportunity to say that again.
Not to have that. Grounded to second. This could do it. Keith his throw. And the Sox get swept by the Tigers here. And for the first time since June 6th, the Tigers get back to 500 with this win tonight.
The Tigers still here.
Wraparound series.
Why won't the Tigers leave? At what point can we get them out?
Why would they want to leave? They keep facing the White Sox.
I would bet by the time this thing's done, they'll have five. They'll win five games the rest of the way. I think I'm being optimistic by saying they can win five games.
Say it with me. Southside, stand up.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
How you doing? Good morning. Go White Sox.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, the baseball story yesterday was all the stolen bases. Not often you hear eight stolen bases, the most in 111 years, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, that was like Little League.
Well, it was Yasmani Grandal, a catcher.
That was like Little League. Yeah. Eight stolen bases in 18 runs. That's a offensive outburst.
Pete Crow Armstrong, greater than sign Yasmani Grandal.
Fastest man in the majors? No, I think that would be Ellie De La Cruz, maybe.
New center fielder.
A few other guys. O'Neill Cruz, I think that would be somebody else in the mix. But Pete Crow Armstrong running wild against the pitcher, Keller, and the catcher, Grandal.
Can you believe
taking
that?
Advantage of the deficiency behind the plate. No White Sox fan is surprised. I wondered, watching the game and kind of laughing along, because it's not often the Cubs get 18 runs, were they ever going to stop stealing bases? At what point were they going to get some chin music because they kept stealing bases?
Yeah, I think you're entitled to do that when no one can stop you. I mean, 111 years since they last stole eight bases in a game.
Think and about that.
It's ridiculous.
The Cubs stole more bases in a game since any games since 1911.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. And more history made. I don't know what gets into the Cubs.
21 hits.
Saturday, they score 14 runs, correct?
Save a few of those for
exactly.
Wednesday.
Sunday, they run out of gas. Monday, 18. They're going to need the runs tonight. They're going to need the runs tomorrow. You need the runs to sweep the Pirates. They're in a position now. But that was fun to watch.
I feel confident in saying they will outscore the Pirates.
In this series.
Yes.
Yeah. The run differential will favor the Cubs.
I do
think that is...
I don't know if that matters at all.
That's not exactly going out on a limb, but I think I like that. I like that. And let's face it, they buy another day of conversation, of relevance, of another day of teasing us into thinking that, maybe if they can win eight in a row, they can get back in this thing. I don't know if they can, but it was fun to watch.
Well, I mean, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
No doubt about it.
To watch them just run the bay, pound it out, 21 hits, and They scored a season high in runs. It's pretty good.
And we'll talk about this during the pick six, but it's encouraging to see who's responsible for much of the offense. The resurgence of Miguel Amaya, or yeah, maybe I should say the emergence of Miguel Amaya.
Maybe that's the way to put it.
That's encouraging for 2025 and actually putting this season into context. And then let's face it, Pete Crow Armstrong, when he is doing what he has been doing, you can see why he generated all of the buzz. He's an exciting player. When he's hitting, when he's running, he makes things happen. He's a catalyst batting eighth. Very encouraging signs for the Cubs. Fun night in Pittsburgh.
Let me ask you a question. And this is, I don't really want to talk about the White Sox, but I'm very curious about the lawsuit that was filed. And just because that was one of the great mysteries of
last season. I wondered where you were going. Okay.
No, there's nothing. There's no baseball to talk about. But but if David, if Mr. David were shot at Guaranteed Rate Field, would you file a lawsuit looking for $50K? Like, didn't the dollar amount seem low?
It seemed low because if you are going to go through the, I don't even want to brand it because if you're going through the indignity of filing a lawsuit and bringing attention to that incident, I would think that you're going to be more ambitious in terms of what you want in return.
It just seems like the sort of thing that you could settle without getting it in the paper again. Like, why? It just doesn't seem like it's enough money to even talk about.
Depends on what you're looking for.
Bring that back.
Could it be a matter of principle? Could it be the dollar sign is not significant? It's more about proving what really happened and what you feel about it. I don't know. I didn't dig into the lawsuit necessarily.
I read the story. I read the headline. The number stopped me.
The number was a very low bar.
It seems like if Mr. David got shot, the number would be
higher. Why do you keep having me get shot?
I'm just saying, if you're out there. If Mully were to be shot, okay, there'd be a higher number demanded.
That's definitely.
If Dustin were shot, I mean, everyone want to know.
There'd be a GoFundMe.
Everyone want to know what he's doing out there. Brandon, were you shot at Guaranteed Rate Field? Wouldn't you look for a few more dollars?
There'd be a reward.
$50K. That's no one's retiring. That said, look what's happened to me. I can't go back to work. I need that $50,000 so I can settle and.
Will that cover season tickets next year?
Well, they're lower in the price.
So maybe it's a little high.
So I don't.
Season tickets for two.
The numbers stopped me a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know much about that story. I think it remains a mystery. It remains one of the Chicago sports mysteries of our generation.
We got to put together like a TV series, Chicago Sports Mysteries.
CSI Chicago.
Here's what happened to the hockey puck.
That would be fun. We could probably come up with a good five or six show arc. We should do that. Like Netflix might be interested. Maybe the new network would be interested. Mm-hmm. Chicago Sports Mysteries. Dun, dun, dun. We could have.
I did the Lagoos attack.
Have Chuck Gowdy, you know, guy really just muscle up to some of these guys, ask the tough questions.
What's Geraldo Rivera up to right now?
I don't know.
Al Capone's vault.
Remember that? Oh, my gosh.
It was like 100 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. And they found like an old Coke bottle.
We were on the edge of our seats
and they found an old Coke
that,
bottle. David?
Yes, I do remember that.
What an idiotic.
Yeah, that was, well, it. Regardless of what he might have found, the fact that he found nothing made it something we're still talking about all these years later.
I guess it's right.
Better than if he had found even something small or inconsequential. That would be a fun series to do. I bet you people could come up with five shows that they would watch if they were Chicago sports mysteries. What happened at Guaranteed Rate Field the night that someone got shot? What happened to the hockey puck that Patrick Kane scored to win the 2010 Stanley Cup Final? There could be others. I know that we're missing a lot.
Yeah, no, there's.
What happened to Sammy Sosa's corked bat?
what happened to the guy that on Monday Night Football jumped from the end zone seats to catch a, I believe, Kevin Butler?
He was not hurt. I think he landed.
Well, like, where are they now? Like, yeah. Reliving that on the anniversary would be pretty interesting.
That isn't as great a mystery as who
I was just trying to add to the conversation.
Now. No, I appreciate it.
There's other good mysteries. A lot of good mysteries.
More of a is he now?
Yeah, that's more of a where.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody who did something at a Bulls game, like hit a half-court shot. What did they do with that money? Or somebody who won some money.
Wasn't there a lawsuit, right, because he played semi-pro or Division III basketball or something?
He was chosen from the crowd because he had these shoes on that looked like basketball shoes. And one of the waivers you had to sign was that you hadn't played college basketball or something. And he had played at a junior college. I think it was something like that. But I was covering that game. That wound up, believe it or not, on the front page of the Sun-Times. I shared a byline with Lacey Banks. And if you watch the movie, what is the movie that Grody always does, you know, you find my
The Fugitive.
Wife, The Fugitive.
Yeah.
If you watch that movie, the front page of the paper.
You're in the movie.
That is the byline. It's from the guy hitting the $1 million shot. That's why I was on the front page, and they used that to put Dr. Richard Kimball on the front page.
Thank you. You just did episode 3.
There you go.
Connecting all the dots to it.
But I don't know what happened to the guy.
I think we could get a sponsor. I think that we could get somebody to write that. I think we could get somebody to stream that. That would be a good project. Score Productions.
That's another Where Are They Now? That guy. That's a good one.
Where are they now? Yeah, those are the best stories, aren't they?
I suppose. But I mean, where is the bullet now?
Well, I don't know.
How did the bullet travel?
Was there ever a bullet?
Well, what comes up must come down.
Two people were apparently shot.
Okay.
So whether there was a gun snuck in that went off or
is that part of the lawsuit? The presentation of the bullet fragment?
See, The very fact that the money is so low makes me wonder about the lawsuit.
That's what I mean.
That's why it's a mystery. Don't draw attention to that.
630, another surprising Chicago sports mystery. None of the media could find out why exactly the Bears coaches found themselves fired last year.
There's a great
episode
mystery.
4, the Alan Williams Project.
I thought, didn't Dustin say that they were handing out blue chews?
I don't know that Dustin said that.
Oh, no, that was Olin.
That was Olin, not Dustin. I know you confuse the two sometimes.
Sorry.
They're very similar.
Someone said that on the air, and I remember kind of.
There'd be some good stuff. There's some good fodder. Those are the kinds of stories that make
I got another one. I got another one. Speaking of Olin.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I want like the untold stories of what went down at the FBI gun range.
Episode 5, the FBI shooting range.
I want a little more info on that one.
Yes.
I want some info on that.
A bear scuffle at the FBI shooting range. Come back right after this. There we are. There's 5.
Wow.
I did a column back in 2017 on the guy in Utah. Help me here. The flu game.
Oh, right.
The shoes. Jordan's shoes ended up, Michael Jordan ended up giving his shoes to the
ball boy, right?
The ball boy.
The Jazz.
For the Jazz. And I ended up, when we were in Salt Lake City for Northwestern in the NCAA tournament, I met with him to do a column on him. And it was like, where are they now type of thing. And it was fascinating.
Didn't he put himself like through college off those shoes or something, right? I read the story, David. So,
Thank you, Dustin. Mm-hmm. You remember that. That's episode 6.
We've got some suggestions for people. This is a good one. How did the White Sox ever employ Pedro Grifol? Mystery of the Ages.
I wouldn't watch that.
Who smashed Sammy Sosa's boombox?
I would watch that.
That was.
I would like to produce it.
Woody, right?
Kerry Wood, but still.
So there's not as big a mystery.
It's not as big of a mystery, but who put him up to it? What bat did he use? What kind of boombox was
it?
What music was it playing to annoy everybody?
You know what it used to be? When they would win a game that season, they didn't win a ton. Every time it was, this is how we do it. Remember that old song? This is how we do it. You would go interview a Cub, and that song was always in the background. It was like on a loop in the clubhouse after a win. It was the funniest.
98.
It's like the funniest thing in the world.
That was the soundtrack of 98.
Yeah.
How about this one? The Lamborghini.
The Lance Briggs Lamborghini story. Yes.
That's a mystery.
That was a mystery. I would definitely like to know what happened and how Lance Briggs got home that night.
And then a side note, his barbecue joint, right?
That would be a nice little addendum, yes.
Is that place still open?
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine it's still open. Yeah.
Is there a second location coming to Chicago?
Closed due to poor management.
Ooh, boy.
Lance couldn't have paid attention to it. He was here playing linebacker. And we'd only go home when Mark Trestman let him or allowed him. $50,000 might be the minimum, Molly, in order to file a suit.
Okay.
And they will ask for more later. That's according to one of the texters. And it does sound about right.
The money just seems crazy.
Yeah, you could be awarded more later. You could ask for more later, perhaps.
If I get shot, it should be worth more.
Well, when you get shot, I think that you will ask for more.
Well, honest to God, I've yet to get shot, and I'm hoping to avoid it.
How about Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari's dinner after the NFC title game in which he couldn't get off the exercise bike?
He was not with Kristen Cavallari at the time of that injury, I don't believe.
I believe he was.
I think they went to dinner at, was it Hub 51?
2010?
It was Mastro's.
2011?
Oh,
was he with Kristen
Cavallari? There's no elevator.
They had a walk-out.
And there's no elevator in the restaurant. I had been there with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
You've always been on that whole thing.
And you have to walk up like a spiralish staircase.
Sleuthing dust.
He had a serious knee injury. Okay, this would be a good episode because you would be the guy
You could interview me as part of that episode.
And you wouldn't have to identify you by name, just ranting Bears fan.
But I have like that black, like the shade over me and then that voice, the wah, 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 wah,
wah. Why did he walk up the stairs? Ruined my night. Overrated. Come on. Was he with Chrissy Cavallari that year?
Yes.
I mean, listen, he's not with her now.
Order a steak, okay?
Oh, you're saying the guy can't go and have a meal?
Yeah, of course. I didn't say he needed to starve to death because he didn't, you know, get off the bike and get his rear end out there against the Packers. But he didn't need to rub it in our face and go to a top steakhouse in Chicago.
By all accounts, he did, sprain an MCL. And
yes,
they didn't do him any favors.
It's a Bears' fault.
By announcing, PR announced that he could be, that it was questionable for the rest of the game. In other words, they announced that maybe he's coming back in to try to put a scare into the Packers. All that did was alarm, and the people that were going after him, it wasn't you, Dustin, it was players around the league. Like, why is he not in the
game?
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, we're going along.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes.
He was one of the biggest defenders.
Right.
Labeling Jay Cutler soft. Jay Cutler was many things. Wasn't soft. Not soft. Tough, tough quarterback. He could take a hit. What are you looking at me like that for? Now I feel like I'm episode 98. Why would he say that?
I was 100 miles away. I was looking over at you and I was thinking about Lance Briggs'
Lamborghini. That's right.
And a couple of things that happened that night, stories I heard, etc.
Oh, boy.
Didn't that cause a bugaboo? You've told this story on, like, with the Bears and you or Lance. Like, wasn't that a front page story? It wasn't just a back page story.
Oh, Lance Briggs and Lamborghini.
It was a front page story.
Yeah, that's a big story.
But the Sun Times was like, the Bears were upset with the Sun Times, right? He was upset with the Sun Times.
Bears were always upset.
Then they didn't want to talk. Well, we talked about Deion Sanders yesterday in the whole Denver Post.
Yeah.
Like, they were going to shut out the Bears.
That was Urlacher. They did a story about somebody at the Sun Times, a city side reporter, did a story with his with the woman he shares a child with about them. The girl's painting.
His son's mother, yeah.
Whatever.
And then something like with the Irish dancer, right? Like there was like the love triangle or something.
Yeah, that was Michael Flatley was involved
there
too.
Yep.
He was
a lot of stuff.
He wasn't involved in that story.
No, that was a different one.
He had been involved with her previously.
That would all be part of the episode.
Okay.
It would all be part of the episode.
Okay.
We'd kind of tie that up in like 60 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the show.
You'd be in that one.
I would be in that one. Yeah, unfortunately, I was in a few of those. Brian Urlacher and I were sued together.
We were sued.
Yeah, we were co-defendants.
That's right.
Nothing bonds two people together like being named in the same lawsuit.
He paid $50,000 and you couldn't come up with the money, as I recall.
It was dropped. No, it was dropped.
It's just a joke.
I know, but now people are going to say, oh, geez.
No. That was kind of weird, though.
That we were both named?
That you were named in a lawsuit.
Yeah, it was weird. It was also kind of like, whoa.
I know.
I'm getting sued.
Yeah, that must have been.
I need to get a lawyer. What do I need a lawyer for? Yeah, that wouldn't be an episode. Yeah, boy, we have definitely
there's a lot of
opened
funny.
Up
there's
a lot, valve here.
A lot of funny
a lot of great
ideas.
Stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of mysteries over the years.
Yeah,
no mysteries today. Cut down day.
Yeah, you know it's always a rough day. It's just a bad day because hopes and dreams die today for certain players. For other players, you know, they'll be back. You'll see guys get cut and they'll be. Back on the practice squad, or they may land somewhere else on a practice squad or on a roster. You never know.
But you never know. You never know.
Right.
The chances are there's not going to be a name that we hear or see on the Bears list of cuts that will surprise us. I don't really believe that.
I don't think anyone's really going to surprise you.
And I don't know. And I don't know if I could go. I will go this far. I said it yesterday. I think that. There's really unlikely to be a name that you're going to look at as a cut and say, well, I'm going to change my expectations for this season.
Right.
Because this is the bottom of the roster. We do cover it well. It's taken on a life of its own in recent years because we know so much about these guys coming in. Cutting down to 53, in some years, you're talking about the Bears, you know, having a lot of turnover at the bottom of the roster this year. I think it's going to be more stable, right?
Yes.
It's only going to be a couple players here or there that you're, you know, bringing back.
Especially after they signed a couple of defensive linemen. They made trades in anticipation of the cuts.
So, they did. And I thought that was smart. We talked about it yesterday, being strategic. I was a little surprised. I want to ask Lawrence following up because – I heard them talking about it, and I guess this is one way to look at it, but there's a school of thought that they expressed that this was a bad thing because they felt bad about their evaluation of their depth, so they had to go out and trade for two defensive linemen to shore up their depth. I don't know if that's...
Well,
I think it's more the other... I think it's more like you commend Ryan Poles for being able to strategically identify guys that he wants.
Well, I think that they, as far as their depth is concerned, they did make an effort to bring in Matthew Judon, who is a very good player. So you knew that they were one short and they wanted another one. So then they made a trade there. The depth issue by bringing in two was almost an acknowledgement that Zach Pickens might not be available for the first week or two of the season.
Yeah, which I think is responsive to the situation.
Exactly.
Both situations.
I don't know that that's fear of depth or anything. That's responding to injury in that case. And in the other one, they were kind of short a player all along. And I think it's also wise not to put everything on a rookie fifth-round draft.
Yeah, that's the key point there.
Yeah.
Daryl Taylor will help take the pressure off Austin Booker.
That's it.
And I think it's a good debate. It's an interesting point to consider. But I think the Bears loading up at the edge rush position is a good idea. And if you can pinpoint and target somebody who flashed on tape or you know more about, you think could benefit from a change of scheme, and you execute a trade like that, more power to you. I just thought it was interesting, as we mentioned yesterday. Daryl Taylor goes from the Seahawks to the Bears. The Bears get their guy because of a scheme fit. Trevis Gibson went from the Bears to that he was in Jaguars camp. Now he goes to the Seahawks in a deal because he's better fit in a 3-4. So it's all kind of a circular trade. Trevis Gibson for Daryl Taylor.
Yes.
Started a year ago.
I think that you can't get everything done in one offseason. And they did a really good job of improving different areas on the team that were more quarterback central, focused on the quarterback. And I think that, you know, as we go into this season, we think that they're probably going to be drafting, you know, depending on how the season goes, they're either going to be drafting a defensive lineman next year or an offensive
lineman. Or an offensive tackle.
Yeah, but, I mean, they might have gotten an offensive tackle in Kira Namagaji. We don't know.
Yeah. You can't do everything in one offseason. That is the adage.
Yes.
But, boy, did the Bears try offensively to do that. And you can make the argument that they are so much different this year offensively.
Yeah.
And that's as big of a reason for as much optimism as we're seeing.
It's fair. I think that's a fair assessment.
They change the complexion and the profile of their offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
They brought in a receiving corps, for God's sake.
That is no mystery.
No.
That would not make the cut for our top 10 episodes.
Not at all. No. They drafted a quarterback. They tried to go out, bring in a passing game with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a couple new receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And a new tight end, too.
Whatever happened to Caleb Haney, episode 9?
That's a different show.
Okay.
That's season 2.
I know.
The mysteries are different.
There's no mystery about Caleb Haney, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm. There are some mysteries related to NFL, to the Bears quarterback situation, though. There's some mysteries that are buried deep in the bowels of Hallis Hall somewhere. Stories about guys like... there's a lot of characters that have come through there. I want to know whatever happened to Sam Hurd.
Wow, is he still in prison?
I don't know. That's what I want to know.
I think he got sentenced to a long... I think he may still be in prison. We'll have to look that up during the break.
Okay.
Sure, there's tons of stories on it. We've got to get to the pick six. There are all sorts of things. All the good stories of the day. We're going to pick them apart. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. How do you explain the Cubs' offensive outburst just one day after the bats were silent against the Marlins? Have Miguel Amaya and Pete Crow Armstrong done enough to remove doubt about their 2025 status?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I do think that both those guys are going to be okay moving forward, and I think that I don't get too overwhelmed by what happened last night, but it was good to see both those guys do better. And Amaya had nowhere else to go, frankly. He really needed to show something, and he's starting to. And I like that Council talked the other day about PCA and how he, that he needs to be basically more productive to be at the top of the lineup. And it's not just about speed. It's about the ability to get on base, and I think we're seeing him get on base. And I don't know that they've removed all doubts about their status, but I think Pete Crow Armstrong, you do feel good about him moving forward. You feel yet again like he's one of the good young players that's going to get better because he's improving. And Amaya, didn't you almost feel like he had to show something because you were at – not too long ago, you were thinking that's another offseason need is the catcher. So now maybe you don't feel that way, or you don't feel as strongly that way. But I think both those guys are trending the right way, and that is a good thing.
Yeah, I think Amaya saw that his professional career was in danger. I mean, I think he would have been around because you always need at least a backup catcher, right? Just a body, if anything. He wasn't going to be out of baseball, but he wasn't going to be with the Cubs. So now that's something that I don't think the Cubs have to address. I think that combo is serviceable enough. And if he's batting eighth or ninth next year and doing what he's doing now, you could definitely live with that. With PCA, basically, if he gets on base, it's a double. If he hits a double, it's a triple. I mean, the guy is just, it's amazing. And even last night, right, when you think the offense going into the game is not doing so hot right after Sunday, he gets on base, he steals second immediately, then Amaya hits a single, but he scores because he's already on second base. If he had been on first base, he wouldn't have scored. They left a ton of they could have scored 25 runs last night. They missed out on a ton of opportunities. But I do like that Craig Counsell, I'm going to give him credit here, wait till the next question, that he's got the guys in motion and he's being aggressive.
I like everything Miguel Amaya has done since they kind of had a come to Jesus meeting back in July. They contacted Nelson Cruz, who had like 460 home runs in his career and had some connection to one of the Cubs hitting coaches. And they said, basically, what can he do? And what he did was he dropped his sort of leg kick. It was a change in his approach. He dropped his leg kick for a little toe tap. And that's the way that he kind of changed the arc of his season. Since July 7th, Miguel Amaya is hitting .344. With 5 home runs, 19 runs batted in, and a .963 OPS. You can win with that. Also, maybe not coincidentally, his catching ERA has gone down. So he's managing the pitching staff responsibly. If you can go into the offseason not needing a catcher, that would be such a relief for the Cubs and Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins. So that was fun about last night. 4 more hits for Amaya. PCA. Yeah, he has been on fire as well. He's a catalyst at the bottom of the order. Looking ahead to next year, I hope he's at the top of the order. Can you imagine what this guy could do if he's hitting what he's been hitting, leading off, stealing bases, wreaking havoc. This is fun. I don't know what it is about the Cubs where they can score 14 one day, 2 runs the next, and 18 the next day. I don't know. I hope they explode for 15 more tonight. Unlikely. Just win. They've got to win this series. They ideally would sweep. Justin Steele on the mound gives you hope. But when you have Amaya and you have Pete Crow Armstrong, you've got double A at the bottom of the order. AA.
What I was going to say to your question there or your statement.
That's the voice of Taylor McGregor. She'll talk Cubs with us at 8:25. How do you interpret the Cubs releasing Drew Smyly, a reliable lefty who's played several roles and in all of them pretty well? Do you think the Cubs are giving Smyly a chance to hook on with a contender? Does this confirm they don't think they are one?
I was surprised by this news. Not going to lie. I was surprised by this news. To me, it screams cost cutting. To me, this is all about the dollar, all about the green. Now, Drew Smyly has served the Cubs very well. Whatever they have asked him to do, he has done it, and done it pretty well. The thing of it is now they're going to save about $1 million, a little over $1 million over the final month of the season. They were never going to bring him back at the $10 million option. So it's going to cost teams about $4 million if you claim him. I don't think any team will claim him. So once he's passes waivers and is released, he becomes a free agent and can pick his spot. I think there will be teams that want him. But to me, this is another head scratcher that says the Cubs are trying to save money where they can. And this was a payroll move. Is it a concession speech? Nah, probably not, because he wasn't that important to the overall prospects of them getting into the playoffs, but he was a part that they needed, and now he's gone. I was very surprised and disappointed by this.
No comment on that.
I mean, that's what the skipper of the Cubs had to say when asked about this last night. I guess it's not official yet, but it's all over the place. I mean, it's everywhere. So why can't you comment on it, Craig? Come on, give us a little bit. What, you know, so he
was
said
that after the game.
That's after the game. He sounded just to me, considering the fact that they had 21 hits and 18 runs and stole 8 bases, that sounded like a guy who was not pleased by what that did. Because to the point of the question, it signals that they don't believe, and they, meaning Jed and Carter, don't believe they're in it to win it
for
this season.
That.
While the manager has to be in it to win it. So this is going to be my run the flag up the pole is the first little, at least that we know, I'm putting it out there, the first little beef, okay, between the manager and the front office here. To save $1 million? I mean, come on. How much beer do they spill at Wrigley Field on a Friday afternoon?
Well, it's not just to save $1 million. He has a $2.5 million buyout.
Well, that makes it even worse.
But this is the point I'm making. If they do let him finish the season, they got to pay him $2.5 million for next year.
You're right.
So if they're not going to pay him for next year, and they don't want to pay if he's not part
of their
plan.
They're saving $4 million here.
There you go.
And it would cost the team $4 million to get him minimum.
So
because the option, you're right, Molly. I mean that's what it comes down to, which is I think probably why Craig Counsell sounded a little terse.
Well, it's just a money move. It's no question about it. Not that he's the greatest player ever.
He's an outgetter.
But it probably looks pretty bad for players coming in. An agent can say, well, you know, look what they did to Smiley. They didn't want to give them the 2.5. They're going to cut corners on you. We better make sure we get a better guarantee than this. Yeah, you got that money coming, but that doesn't mean they're not going to cut you.
A week after they got rid of Neris under similar circumstances.
Similar circumstances. The same type
veterans.
Of idea. Veteran
so,
guys that –
I'm sorry. It's like
they're dumping for money, and I don't even know if this helps them, like with the fact of whether they're over or not, or how it impacts them next year. This looks like strictly a money decision based on whether they pay 2.5. We'll just get rid of them now, and then we save $1 million. And as you say, I hadn't heard
that Craig Counsell cut. To me, that sounds like a manager for the second week in a row
not too happy
having to deal with not getting veteran outgetters in his bullpen.
Happy.
I'm going to ask you the most popular Chicago football question that we're getting.
Zach Zaidman, he'll be here at 9 o'clock. The Bears cut 9 players yesterday ahead of today's final cut. That has to be 53. Any surprise, the third-year guard, Jatari Carter, a former seventh-round pick, led the charge. Who will be the biggest named player cut today?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great surprise. I didn't think... Jatari Carter, I hadn't heard him as a guy. I didn't see anybody predicting he would make the roster. At one point, I think you hoped that he would develop into a better player than maybe he has. And who knows? Perhaps he's back on the practice squad. He's been around here for a little bit. And he pretty much knows everybody in the place and how to get from point A to point B, etc. So who knows? Whether they want him back, trying to develop him moving forward. You know, a seventh-round pick, kind of a throwaway pick, no offense to anybody, but the guys taken in the seventh round aren't assured a spot on the roster. So the fact that he's lasted this long would say that he's had an NFL career, and that is, I think, the average NFL career is like 2.2 years. So if he can get on a practice squad and stick around, it's pretty good. You know, You can't turn your nose up at it. But I didn't think it was a big name. And some of the guys that were cut, I don't know that even the greatest of Bears fans would know who they were. As far as today is concerned, I would imagine that they're going to cut someone you've heard of, whether it's Velus Jones or Dante Pettis or whomever it might be. They will, among the cuts, cut somebody that you have heard of. That doesn't mean that they're a worse team or that things are falling apart or that there's any as David said earlier, any reason to reduce the number of wins they're going to have on your preseason prognostications based on anybody that is cut on the cut down to 53. There are some guys that, you know, might be pretty serviceable players. They seem to have more members of the secondary that can play than jobs in the secondary for them. So there could be somebody cut that ends up playing for another team or going someplace else. You know, we talked yesterday about Noah Sewell and whether or not, you know, he was going to make the cut at linebacker. His brother plays in Detroit. Maybe he ends up as a special teams guy there if it doesn't work out here. And I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying it's weird how things work out in the NFL and how one man's trash is another man's treasure, especially when it comes to the cut down day. So you will hear, you will know the names of somebody, but I wouldn't get too worried about it.
I will make that prediction. I will use that name. Linebacker Noah Sewell is the guy on my list. Too much time in the tub, not enough time on the turf.
Hmm. That's not a huge name, but that's
well,
a good
I'm just,
prediction.
I mean, I don't
it's
know that prediction. Any of these are. Right? Yeah. I mean, I, personally, Jatari Carter actually had more of an impact on the Bears on the field than Noah Sewell has.
I always think of Tom Thayer when I think of here Jatari Carter.
I do too, because he talked about him.
He loved
him.
He thought he was going to be a good player, and he still might somewhere.
Yep.
You know, you always see these stories of offensive linemen who resurface, and then they get bigger, and they learn their lessons or whatever. But sorry that he didn't work out in Chicago. Noah Sewell is probably a good prediction because you don't like to give up on draft picks, and he hasn't really been more noticeable than other lesser-known linebackers or guys who came from different
right, I mean, Jack Sanborn, better linebacker than Noah Sewell.
No doubt about
period.
It. Period. Yeah.
Right, and, he's, undrafted. And Noah Sewell is his backup.
Yeah, no, and undrafted. And so is Baskerville. He's had a bigger – he's been a hound, I think, this preseason. Definitely
boy,
has.
Boy.
Definitely. All right, so names to look for would be Brett Rypien is going to – I don't know how he makes his team. He's going to be on the practice squad. He's going to tempt teams to want to go out and tap into his expertise and come to their building and help with the offense. I think he's going to probably get cut.
It's another good name. You've heard of him.
You've heard of him. Kari Blastengame's in trouble. I think that is a name. When you talk about the fullback, I wonder about Shane Waldron's preferences. I wonder about his tendencies, and I do wonder if there's a place, and it could come down to, frankly, when you do the roster math, I wonder if it comes down to Velus Jones or Kari Blastengame. If it does, I think Velus Jones wins that debate.
I have a question really quick. Is making the 17-man practice squad part of making the team or no?
No.
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 Okay. By definition, I want a clear-cut definition of
53.
You're cut. 53. You have to be cut and re-signed onto that group.
Oh boy, good question.
There he is, Dave Wansett. He'll be here for two big segments starting at 7:44. Check it out on Twitch. Does the Bears' acquisition of a couple of defensive linemen via trade impact the most important, valuable, indispensable player on the team? Who is more irreplaceable, Andrew Billings or Jervon Dexter, Montez Sweat, or anyone else?
That's a good question. I think that obviously the most indispensable Bear, besides Caleb Williams, is Montez Sweat. I think it's always going to be the quarterback. That's always going to be the answer. But Montez Sweat is...
Can we talk about that for one second?
Yes.
I'm not arguing that fact, but if Caleb went down and you had Tyson Bagent. Mm-hmm. Is Tyson Bagent a better backup to Caleb Williams than name the player to Montez Sweat?
That's a very good point. It's a very good question. And the answer is absolutely. Because I think that if you take Montez Sweat out and you put in DeMarcus Walker, for example, and then you put Austin Booker at the opposite end, and they're playing, hypothetically, the Titans, I'm not going to change my prediction. If you put Tyson Bagent in for Caleb Williams against the Titans or the Rams or whoever they're playing next, I'm probably going to adjust my prediction. I think changing quarterbacks would have a bigger impact on the outcome than changing defensive ends, even one as indispensable as Montez Sweat. I just think it's going to be something that you could get by with game to game, week to week, rather than over the long haul. You don't want to lose your edge rusher.
No.
The most disruptive defensive player.
Listen, you certainly don't want to lose your quarterback.
But if you lose your quarterback, everything changes.
I'm just wondering if you went 7-10 last year and your backup quarterback was 2-2, mm-hmm. wasn't Wasn't that a better record than 7-10?
I think that you're right, but I think this is a different team.
Okay.
I think every year that answer is going to maybe change a little bit. Right. And I know I just got the bell, but I would say Montez Sweat is the most indispensable player who isn't the quarterback. And things would change more dramatically without him. As far as Billings or Dexter, that's an excellent question, but I would say Big Bill.
Yeah, it's Montez Sweat for me. The guy's a game wrecker, and really interesting quotes from him. You know, the move from the Commanders to the Bears, he wasn't exactly all in on that. Obviously, when he got the contract, he was all in on that. But I'd like to see him in a place that he wants to be with 17 games and what kind of a wrecker he's going to be. Because, again, that also is going to help out that secondary, right, being a guy putting extra pressure on the quarterback.
I should have written this down, but I looked at ESPN's top 100 rating. Just because it snorts and giggles, I noticed they had Montez Sweat at like whatever, 80 whatever. And then the player ahead of him, one ahead of him, was Jalen Johnson. And then the player one ahead of Johnson was Matthew Judon. Isn't that wild to think about that? Because I think of Montez Sweat as a better player and a more irreplaceable player than a guy like Matthew Judon. You know, it's a good argument about him and Jalen as to who you need more, but I do think the pass rusher is, I think he's their, you know, he changed their team when he came over, and I think he's a great player. I think this question is about the defensive line, though, basically, because they added a couple defensive linemen. And I think Sweat is... it is obviously their most valuable at that position. I think that Billings is the only guy that is kind of a run stuffer guy, and he can also do a couple things on he can play against the pass sometimes as well. I think he's probably the answer about him or Jervon. I do think that Jervon Dexter is hopefully a guy who will prove himself to be invaluable by the end of the year. I think that as the guy that's moving into that three technique position, I know he's a big guy, but as the guy that's supposed to be sort of the interior pass rusher, I'm hoping that he pops a little bit this year and you feel better about him by the end of the year. But I agree with the idea that that Billings right now is the one that you have no one like him. You could conceivably, you know, move Walker inside or whatever it might be to help you with a pass rushing interior.
And you know you can count on Andrew Billings. I think Jervon Dexter is more hope than certainty.
That's right.
Well, that's a great question.
That's the voice of Mike Florio, 844, a trip around the NFL with him, and we'll be asking him about this, I'm sure. What are your thoughts on CeeDee Lamb getting a four-year, $136 million deal from the Cowboys, second richest non-quarterback contract in NFL history behind the $35 million a year contract Justin Jefferson got from the Vikings? Does the DJ Moore four-year, $110 million extension now seem like a bargain?
Well, the DJ Moore contract... what's great is he still finishes up a couple years, right? So that's moving forward. That does look like a bargain, quite frankly. That's a good contract. CeeDee Lamb, I get it. They were running, you know, a couple weeks left. I don't know why it took this long. I don't understand kind of what they're doing. And I would imagine that they're now going to pay Dak Prescott. And I think that might be a bigger mistake than anything they do. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Dak kind of prove it a little bit more. You know, it's not good enough to be a team highly thought of. You better win. And, I imagine he's going to get a massive deal. CeeDee Lamb is really good. He's an excellent player. But is he as good as Justin Jefferson? No. Is he as good as – is he the second best receiver in the league? I don't think so.
No.
Probably not.
No.
So I think it's a lot. I mean – an awful lot of money, and it's kind of backing yourself into a corner and then just kind of folding and giving a guy what he wants. But, I mean, I don't know that they had much of a choice.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Mully, with I don't think they had much of a choice either. I also think their owner and their GM, I don't know if he's their capologist, he wants to win. He really wants to win, and I think he's going to go to Dak and say, Dak, I've given you all the weapons, and if you can get me to the Super Bowl, you know, you are going to get paid, okay? You are going to get paid. So I don't know that they end up paying Dak this year. I think it would be a mistake to do that. He's got to win when it counts the most. But boy, does he! That was a great connection last year. Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, yeah. And it does make the DJ Moore deal look really great for both sides as they went out of the way to talk about on Hard Knocks. And speaking of that, we're going to get another Hard Knocks tonight.
Wow, great tease. Great example.
Thanks.
Of
hopefully Mitch is listening.
Everything is bigger in Texas, including these contracts for guys who may not have earned this. CeeDee Lamb is a dynamic receiver. Is he top five? Probably. Is he the second best receiver in football? No. Jerry Jones should not be the general manager of this team. Jerry Jones is the owner of this team. Nobody can dispute that. His fortune is his fortune. The fact that he still thinks can be the general manager at this stage of his life and career is ridiculous. And I think this holdout and then what they ended up bowing over and giving him everything he could have wanted. How did the Cowboys let this go this long if they were going to give him the money all along? This makes the DJ Moore not only contract, but the way with which it was handled seem like a professional enterprise or exhibit A on how you handle a star receiver.
Get to it before it becomes an overpay.
Yes. Congratulations, Ryan Poles. Jerry Jones just made you look like executive of the year. And CeeDee Lamb, not going to say anything about his talent because he is explosive. He is good. But I do think that Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb is the most overrated tandem in the NFL just because of the amount of attention they generate. I don't think that it's warranted all the time, but that's what you get with the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Now they're going to be in salary cap hell for the next several years.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Where does Davis Martin fit into the White Sox plans? He's not often mentioned in the same breath as other young pitchers of the future like Drew Thorpe or Jonathan Cannon, but he's been pretty good lately. So could Martin be part of the 2025 rotation?
I really like what this kid has to offer. I guess he's not a kid. He's overcome Tommy John surgery, come back, been focused, been consistent. I think he offers the White Sox something they don't really have in the future, looking at a consistent right-hander. You, obviously, Drew Thorpe is there, but he's kind of unknown. Davis Martin gives you another right-handed option because they have so many power lefties coming up. If they keep Crochet, look at Noah Schultz. And can I mention Hagen Smith this morning without triggering Kevin from Palatine? They have a lot of good young lefties in the system.
There is.
Davis Martin is a right-hander who I think has put himself in the conversation to maybe be the Eric Fetty replacement. I know nobody's going to get excited about the White Sox pitching. They have not earned that right yet. Lost number 101 last night, but it wasn't Davis Martin's fault.
All right. So Davis Martin's probably going to be on this team. He's probably going to be in the starting rotation next year. And you know what that team's going to be? It will be the seventh time since Jerry Reinsdorf has owned the team that the White Sox, I'm not going to say they're going to lose 100 games in 2025, but I'm going to say they're going to lose 90. Can you believe that? They've lost, since he's owned the team, they've lost 90 or more games in the 90s, six times. Not to mention the three times now that they've lost 100 games or more. So that's nine total of 90 or more losses since he's owned the team. That's what Drew Thorpe's going to be part of, and Davis Martin and Jonathan Cannon, they're going to be part of the seventh 90-loss team that Jerry Reinsdorf is in charge of.
Davis Martin, he lowered his ERA to 2.96 with five innings yesterday. He's a guy that's come back from Tommy John, and he looks like a solid kind of pitcher. I don't think he looks spectacular. I know he had a couple of nice moments yesterday. As far as him being a part of their rotation or a part of their future, okay. And you need starting pitchers, and he's starting for them right now, and he's being fairly competent. When did they trade him? Yeah, I don't think they have to, because I don't think he's that good yet. So that's the upside. Yeah, White Sox. We're talking about the White Sox. 312-644-6767. We got a good question for the extra point. It's Mully and Haw on the screen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Get this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you make of Mike Sando's annual quarterback tier rating? Should there really be more than one player in tier one? What tier will Caleb Williams be in next year?
I love this every year. It creates a lot of great discussion and debate. It's well-researched. It's also vetted by, let's face it, it has credibility because of the quality of the people that he's interviewing. Executives and coaches, a group of 50. It makes a lot of sense the way that this is structured. I don't think it's over the top in any way. I understand why we might wonder, should there be more than one player in Tier 1 because Patrick Mahomes stands alone. But this does reflect that. He is the only unanimous Tier 1 quarterback. So I think that says this is essentially Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. So I don't have a problem with Joe Burrow being number 2. I thought Lamar Jackson would be my number 3. But Josh Allen is talented. I just don't think he has won enough to warrant being in the top tier as being the third best in the NFL. So there might be some things you quibble with. I really thought Jared Goff is a little high at 10. I would not have put him. I don't consider Jared Goff a top 10 quarterback. And maybe that's not fair to Jared Goff. He's done a lot of winning in the NFL. And certainly he's now done so with two different teams. So maybe I'll acknowledge that is borderline unfair. But I am in a position where Jared Goff has to show me again that they can win. He can be a win because of guy. I'm not sure that they win because of Jared Goff yet. And I think that would tell me he's not a top 10 quarterback. Dak Prescott, maybe a little high at 9, but he is a very, very big stat guy. He definitely can produce. Aaron Rodgers, people will quibble at 7, is a little bit high for him at his stage of his career. But I really liked a lot of the rationale when you look into take a deeper dive into why these quarterbacks are at the tiers where they are. And the bottom, Bryce Young at 28, he could be in. He could make a jump if they're any good with the new quarterback guru as his head coach. Maybe they make a jump, but I'm not convinced they will. Where will Caleb Williams end up next year? I think he will be firmly in the second tier. I think CJ Stroud, you look at him right now and he is 8. I could see by the time we're talking about this a year from now, Caleb Williams could be a top 10 quarterback, and that would put him firmly in the second tier.
Well, he must be in tier 2, or this is going to be a really bad year. Okay, based on who's in tier 2, he has, and who's in tier 3. So at the top of tier 3 is Tua. Now Tua might end up having a brilliant season. He's gotten paid. He's got a lot of weapons around him, right? You know, Trevor Lawrence is in tier 3, but Trevor Lawrence does nothing for me. Kyler Murray does not. Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, he deserves to be higher, to be honest with you.
You're starting a team right now. Who would you rather have, Trevor Lawrence or Baker Mayfield?
I'd have to think about it, honestly.
I wouldn't.
I would. You asked, I answered.
I would say, and I know this is going to be an unpopular answer, but I think that if Caleb Williams is in tier three, that'd be a good place to land. You know, if you're the 15th best quarterback in the league after one season in the league, I think that'd be pretty special. I don't know that it's fair to hold him to a standard that C.J. Stroud set last year, because I don't know that he's going to be able to make a playoff push just given the fact that the Bears are the third team in the division. So I'm just trying to temper expectations, but I think, you know, Tua is the 15th quarterback in the league and he's in tier three. That would be okay. If Caleb Williams started next year in tier three with a look to move up. As far as tier one is concerned, I don't mind Joe Burrow being in it. I think it should be a two-man. I think that Mahomes is the tier, and I think Joe Burrow gets to go in because he's been good against Mahomes. But I don't understand Josh Allen up there. I don't. I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me. And I guess there had been six guys in it a year ago.
Yeah.
And they dropped a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably wise. But I would have it with two guys in it. And I would be open to if somebody kind of jumped up. But if you're the 15th best quarterback in the NFL, your team's got a chance. That would be okay. I wouldn't sneer or get angry about that. I know that everybody thinks that that it's going to be easy, that the Bears have done all this stuff. I'm not saying that they don't have an easy schedule. I'm not saying they're not going to win a lot of games. I'm just saying that, to me, you got to get in the playoffs to get into the second tier of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I'm not sure the Bears are going to be able to do that.
I have two thoughts. This is a fun conversation. Yeah. I want to get back to the Dustin either or, but what you say about Caleb Williams, I know that it's not always on the quarterback to get to the playoffs. I think this probably rewards quarterbacks for their team's overall success or failure more than maybe a straight listing of the best people at their position does.
Right.
I think that I would only quibble a little bit if Caleb Williams is in the middle of the pack at the end of this year, while it would be understandable given the fact that he's a rookie quarterback on a team that might not make the playoffs. I do think it would be somewhat disappointing. I do think that we have set the expectations and the bar maybe too high to the point where, and I guess we're responsible in part for this, but I want to give voice to it. If Caleb Williams, to me, is no better than a middle-of-the-pack quarterback at the end of the season, I will likely be mildly disappointed.
Wow.
And I think that the bar is, to me, if he is as good as advertised and as good as the glimpse that we have gotten in 43 preseason snaps, that's better than Jared Goff, Mully. That's better than Brock.
Jared Goff is rewarded in that tier because of the playoffs. That's the reality. Tua gets into the playoffs and they get blown out by Kansas City. That's what that is.
Right. I don't think that's fair to those players when you're ranking their individual talents and who you would rather have at the position. I guess I'm saying that even if Caleb Williams misses the playoffs, he could have the kind of year that, to me, puts him in that second tier and makes him solidly between 10 and 12, let's say. And if he's lower than that, understandable and realistic, perhaps, but I don't want to be rational or realistic right now.
I understand that that there are a lot of quarterbacks that have come into the league as the number one pick and been in worse situations in terms of the team around them than is the case right now with Caleb Williams. But, you know, guys came into the league. If you're doing this after year one of, you know, name a quarterback, Troy Aikman, multiple Super Bowl winner. Peyton Manning, multiple Super Bowl winner. I just think that there are a lot of number one overall quarterbacks that wouldn't have been tier one or tier two in their second year. And I don't want to be unfair about it.
That's fair.
I'm just trying to temper expectations.
I think that's wise.
Always a mistake.
I'm not I'm not there yet, but we can get back to this because it's a fun conversation.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And we've got a good question left. We got the we got a lot to go over. That was the extra point, but we've got to get to a break. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
Hopefully it's game one. Hopefully the superstar breakthrough comes through game one. Obviously it doesn't always happen like that. So, you know, just going to keep working. You know, there's going to be good and bad within this year, maybe even next year. So just making sure that I'm steadfast. I'm staying at a neutral pace. And then, you know, when that happens and, you know, everything fully just kind of slows down and everything's in slow motion, can see everything, know the offense like the back of my hand, I think that's when that time comes.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams. He did a sit-down with Dan Wiederer, and Dan asked him when he wants to break through, and he's hoping by game one. That's pretty ambitious, but I'm not saying he won't. I mean, the kid has been fantastic and looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, good interview by Dan on the ChicagoTribune.com and dropped on the Take the North podcast as well. Caleb Williams saying that reflects today's modern NFL, right? You have an opportunity to break through from the very beginning. And given the rhetoric and really the reality of surrounding Caleb Williams this offseason, he is coming into a situation more conducive to a rookie starter than any other situation ever has been. So when he says that, that's more than just his own inner confidence and self-belief. That's almost like reading the room. He knows he's in a city where those are the expectations that people have for him.
Right.
If we don't see something happen in that first week that suggests he's going to be a star quarterback, we're all going to be pretty disappointed. And that is the standard he's going to hold himself to. And that's why I think that if he's able to come close to that, he eventually will end the season in the top half of the NFL quarterbacks, maybe as high as 10, somewhere between 10 and 12. And that would put him probably in that tier of quarterbacks next year when they're ranking them. Because I don't know how individual success is measured against team success, Molly, when we're ranking quarterbacks. Different people will weigh those criteria differently.
Yeah, I do think, though, that I think that we have seen plenty of good quarterbacks come into the league, and I don't want to use the word stall, but maybe kind of not get started as quickly as you hope.
Right.
But they eventually do get going, and eventually things work out. Yeah. I feel like Caleb Williams is a good football player. And I feel like things are going to go well for him. I don't know that I believe that this is the year, that this is kind of that he's the finished product and this is going to be the start of something wonderful. I hope so. But I think that, you know, their status within the division is preventing me from kind of getting on. I've said this to you, and I really do believe this. I think they need something to go awry for one of the two teams ahead of them.
I don't disagree with that. I just think that you can have both things be true. The Bears could be the third best team in the division, and Caleb Williams could emerge as a star in the making.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I'm not saying he can't.
Yeah, and their team success. Their team success or modest team success, let's face it, if they win more than they lose, I think, and I said this yesterday, and I'm not sure that everybody would agree, but I think the Bears could win more than they lose, be out of the playoffs, and still feel very good about the direction of this franchise because of the play of the quarterback, because of what a winning season would represent in year three, and because of the reality that they're dealing with two of the teams in front of them that could be two of the best teams in the NFC. The Packers, who, by the way, improved their quarterback situation yesterday by getting a pretty good backup in Malik Willis from the Titans.
I laughed at that.
And it's not a bad move for the Packers, but the Packers are pretty complete with a new defensive coordinator that's going to be aggressive and come after people. And the Lions are the Lions. They were, had they been coached differently, had they been prepared differently, they might have been in the Super Bowl last year because they got to the NFC Championship game and they have designs on getting back.
So, and I think each situation is different at the quarterback position. But over the last 25 years, so since 1999, there have been 74 quarterbacks taken in the first round, mm-hmm. roughly three a year. And about half of them, in fact, 46% of them would be deemed successful. So all that means is that if you took six quarterbacks this year, three of them aren't going to work out, right?
Right.
3 to 4 of them aren't going to work out. You had your first choice. You took a guy. You feel pretty good about who you took. And we'll see how it develops. But at this point last year, you know, you had Bryce Young and you had C.J. Stroud going 1-2. And I would say that it's holding up in terms of one guy being good and the other guy not.
Probably flip-flopped in terms of what people expected. I think Bryce Young had more expectations. And I would say this, even as good as C.J. Stroud turned out to be as a rookie.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that there were not the expectations for him to do that, and the expectations were much lower than they are for Caleb Williams. And I don't think either of those guys that we're talking about were compared coming into the league with Joe Burrow or Andrew Luck or guys who were immediately successful and who changed the franchise. C.J. Stroud, not that it was a happy accident, but his emergence to the point where he is now a top 10 quarterback was a big surprise.
Well, I got to think about that one because
okay.
I think I thought he was going to be better than Bryce Young. I think we talked about this a year ago. I worried about the limitations with his height and some. I don't know that every team would have taken.
But did you think that either one of them was going to be as good as say Burrow or Luck?
No,
that's the expectation. And that's where the bar has been set for Caleb
right.
Williams.
Right.
There's
right.
the expectation that regardless of what happens, he's going to be and should be better or comes into the league more highly regarded than C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young.
Yeah, he's coming into the league. I would have taken him over the other two.
I would have too.
A year ago.
And had he come out in the draft that year, he would have been the first pick.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is the Score. Thanks for keeping us the number one and most listened to sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, laptop, mobile device through the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment brought to you by Bell Tire.
Get up to $200 off a set of four select Goodyear tires at 0% financing for up to 12 months. Get entire life. Our exclusive free maintenance package, including flat repairs, alignment checks, rotations, and free air. Plus, get the lowest tire price, period.
This segment, sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Fireplace and Chimney Authority is Chicagoland's largest, most respected fireplace and chimney company. Finding your new electric or gas fireplace, it starts right here. Call to schedule an appointment or visit the showroom in Lyle or in Elmhurst. Or you can visit them online at fireplaceandchimneyauthority.com.
Hot and sunny today, high 97, 72 tonight.
Weather brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples store has hot deals and super low prices on everything for back to school, even technology. Save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples.
Xfinity here. How can we help?
Hi there. I need a great connection to stream my favorite shows and movies.
Okay.
Is there a way I can get that and save money too?
We wondered the same thing. So we put our engineer brains together to give you the best of both worlds with Xfinity Internet Plus Stream Saver. You get Apple TV Plus, Netflix, and Peacock all for one low price.
Oh, so I can keep up with my coworker who spoils every show before I can watch it?
Exactly. And hey, you might even pass him.
Oh, Donna, it is so on.
Now through September 22nd, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract. And Wi-Fi equipment included. Plus, add StreamSaver for just $15 a month. Visit Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless plan and auto pay with stored bank account. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Currently $71 a month. Actual speeds vary. StreamSaver requires Xfinity Internet or TV and price subject to change.
Listen up.
You want the IRS off your ASS? Do you owe the IRS over $10,000? Do you have unfiled tax returns? Do you owe payroll taxes? Has the IRS garnished your paycheck or taken money out of your bank account yet? They will if you ignore them long enough. Look, deal with the IRS on your own, and there's a good chance that you're going to feel like you've just been run over by a freight train. I'm Patrick Noon, founder and owner of PJN Tax Solutions Group. We are a local tax resolution firm located right here in St. Charles, Illinois. Don't call some 1-800 number 10 states away. We're here in St. Charles, Illinois. Call me now at 630-415-5296. I've helped hundreds of taxpayers resolve their tax issues with the IRS, and I can help you too. Call me now at 630-415-5296 for your free one-hour, no-obligation consultation. Or check us out online at pjntaxsolutions.com. Either way, remember, call us when you want the IRS off your ASS.
Chicago's Sports Morning Show with Mully and Haw will be... You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.